If you love donuts and Taco Tuesday is always on the calendar, welcome to the greatest place on earth.
Yeah, it's a weekly regimen.
The gym.
Everyone at the gym knows you haven't been there in a decade because they're on their Nike high-tech gear. You show up in jeans and leg warmers.
It's time to tune your body.
We're going
to
do 85 push-ups.
To shape up so you don't have to ship out.
Now use your abs to keep your toes, knees, and hips facing the floor.
Put your life in motion and survive with the fittest.
Thomas Jefferson said, revolution can start in the muscles.
This is A Good Fit with Ted Geis.
Hey, yeah, you the trainer here?
Empowering you to be all that you can be.
Push it, come on, it's all you.
Live from the iHub Radio Cardio Clubhouse, here's your fitness master, Ted Geis.
Hey, welcome back to this second hour of Health and Fitness Talk Radio here on the iHub Network. I'm Ted Geis, and this is A Good Fit. And today I'm in the studio with my buddy, my pal, the big kahuna, John McMullen. Hi, John.
Hello, Ted.
Hi. You know what I like most about that?
What's that?
First intro that we do there?
Yeah.
They say Taco Tuesdays. And whenever I hear that, I'm hungry for tacos.
I know, especially today since it's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Maybe
exactly.
We should run over to El Portal while we're doing the show or have them run over to us.
Yeah, they do that, huh?
And, well, you got to call one of those services, but maybe I'll twist the news director, Charlie Dyer's arm into going over and grabbing us some Tuesday tacos.
Charlie's, I'm not yours. Yeah. No, they're good stuff. What's your favorite item at El Portal?
Probably their chicken milanesa.
Oh yeah,
I love that. But I also like the fact that they're one of the few, if not the only place in the valley that does, or at least knows how to do correctly, make Nopales.
You know, cactus. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't eat rice and beans.
Oh, okay.
I eat Nopales as the side on my Mexican plates, and it's
if you
very
can get
healthy.
Them.
It to me, it has kind of the consistency of green beans,
right,
when they're cooked well.
Yeah, I like Nopales.
Nopales when it's sautéed, you know, with some onion and some tomato and that kind of thing. It's really good stuff.
Yeah. You know, but not every restaurant has them. That's for sure.
No, so. I think I've only found like three places ever that I've gone to between here and anywhere else that serves it.
Yeah. And now I don't know much about the nutritional content of Nopales, but I'm going to research that, and I bet they're good for you.
It is.
Yeah.
Because we used to go there so often because it's located near where I live.
Yes.
I asked the owner early on if they had something healthier than rice and beans on the side, and that's when he told me about it. And it's basically what it is. It's prickly pear cactus.
Yeah.
And they sell the stuff at places like Cardenia's and all that. And it's I've made it at home a few times. But my friend Victor Lupercio, who owns that restaurant, El Portal, which you hear about plenty on this station.
Yeah.
He really is a great cook.
Yeah.
I love it when Victor gets in the kitchen on rare occasion and does the cooking himself because he really, you know, every recipe is like, you know, homemade, you know, his mom's recipes and all that.
That.
And so
that's the best.
I really, really love the food that he makes there. But the way that he cooks the Nopales, and he has taught his chefs to do it, or most of them. Sometimes I will send it back and I'll say, can you put a little extra Victor's touch on this? but it's good. And I've had a lot of friends who told me they won't eat it because they're used to it just being so slimy.
Oh, right.
The stuff I've had, not slimy.
Well, you know, it's got some, as you're saying that, it's got some excellent nutritional value. Here's what I just found. I said, Nopales and prickly pear fruit are high in antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals. They are a healthful addition to a balanced diet and may help decrease your blood sugar, reduce inflammation, and lower cholesterol. Bada bing. That's good.
Yeah, especially for this guy dealing with the blood sugar issues.
Yeah, exactly. If that helps it.
There will be times when I'll actually go over and we'll order a pan of it, and I'll keep it around for a few days and use it as a side at home with meals that I make, you know, because
right on.
I like the way he makes it so much. And you can quickly throw it in a skillet and heat it up or throw it in the microwave. But yeah.
Well, it's also has some apparent benefits as an antiviral, a natural antiviral, protects your nerve cells, contains antioxidants, which you just went over, regulates blood sugar levels, which we just said, but also it can be a natural benefit in treating an enlarged prostate. So reduces your cholesterol, eliminates hangovers. Now, that's a big claim right there, eliminates hangovers.
That is a really big claim, and I'm sure that they found this out because there's probably a lot of people who grew up being fed that have had a history of maybe getting a few hangovers.
Yeah. So now in some people, prickly pear cactus, which is what we're talking about, Nopalis, it can cause some minor side effects, including diarrhea, nausea, bloating, and headache. In rare cases, eating large amounts of prickly pear cactus fruits can cause a blockage in the lower intestines.
Oh.
Yeah. So cook that stuff up. It's good.
Yeah. Be careful. Yeah.
Don't eat too much of it.
Don't eat a lot of it, but it's, again, it's for... You know, the serving sizes that you have for like a side on your plate with dinner, it's excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, you can buy them in stores. They come usually in marinated in cans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, marinated in cans. Oh,
I've just seen them, you know, diced up and in plastic bags in the produce section.
Produce section, exactly. Yeah,
and then you make it yourself.
Yeah. But if you want to open up a can, you can do it there, and the nutritional values don't change that much.
Really, because that surprises me, because as somebody who used to eat a lot of canned vegetables earlier in my life.
Yeah, who didn't, right?
You know, it's my, you know, thinking that a lot of that stuff loses a lot of its vitamin value and stuff like that when it sits in the can and in the water and all that, but...
That is a reasonable assumption, and it's actually not so true. Now, you know, if it has been cooked previously and then canned, you know, like canned fruit that you do at home or something like that, that's a different story. But most of the time, flash frozen vegetables and canned vegetables have as much nutritional value as fresh.
So like a can of green beans or peas?
You're okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recommend eating them. And go for the low or no salt versions. Of all of those, which most companies offer now, even the generic, you know, store brands. So go with the low sodium, low salt. Yeah.
Well, I just get fresh veggies because I figure that's the
fresh veggies is the way to go.
At least as long as I can afford to. So,
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know,
I actually just started buying carrots again recently, and not, you know, for me, I have to really watch it because they have a lot of sugar content. Mm-hmm,
they do.
But I love and have always loved all my life cooked carrots.
Yes.
And, of course, the reason I probably loved them so much as a kid is because my mom would cook them and put some brown sugar in with it. I don't do that anymore. Yeah. I just like them steamed.
I know. Whose idea was that brown sugar, right, to get you here? So that's cute. So
I'm sure the sugar producers.
Yeah, probably. Do you... do you skin your carrots?
Sometimes. I'll eat them fresh out of the bag without skinning them, but I like them always. Yeah. I just like carrots.
Good. Well, what's the value in the skin?
I'm sure that carries the most nutritional value. It does with most vegetables.
Yeah, apples, things like that, and it's fiber. The fiber content increases dramatically if you don't take that skin off.
Can I just tell you, I found these things at Costco that, because that's where I do almost all the grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't say I, but my partner who does a lot of it, because I've pretty much stayed in since this pandemic's been going on.
Right.
Just because I have the comorbidities.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we found there that we really love is a snack. And we've been really trying to focus on finding, outside of like fruit and vegetables, the healthiest snacks that we can, you know, the least amount of any sort of added sugar or things like that.
Yeah.
And what we've done is we've gone primarily to like the buckets of mixed nuts.
That's good.
And we also bought these small serving bowls for like little side dishes. So they're right. about the same size as if you've ever been served like mixed nuts in a first class section of an airplane.
Right.
So we limit it to that because they can be very fattening.
Oh,
we talked about
what?
This on your show with Beck yep. McDormand before, it's too. So they're really healthy in terms of the protein value and all that. But in terms of the fat, you know, you don't want to go, I could sit and eat a whole bucket of mixed nuts.
Me too. I'm with you.
So I have to do that to keep myself disciplined for a portion. But also doing the same thing with this other thing we found there, which are these apple chips. And they're mm-hmm. basically dried out apples that have been cooked, you know, but or baked, but they're small. They look like potato chips.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. And they're really good, but you have to, you know, they're still kind of on the sweet side,
yeah,
but
sure,
there's
sure.
no extra sugar added.
No extra sugar.
So you have to, you just have to make sure that you're watching what
exactly.
is the serving portion.
Exactly.
And you stick to that.
Those are the two things, Sean, you nailed it. Portion size, whether it's a snack or whether it's a meal, are ultimately important here. Portion size. Our portion sizes in the United States are outlandish and unheard of in most other places in the world.
I'll tell you, I did feel a little guilty on Saturday.
Why?
Because there is a ham in my refrigerator. or, you know, one where it's without the bone and
yeah.
all that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't have it every day, but I occasionally will go have, when I have one in there, make ham sandwiches
oh, yeah.
for lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And on Saturday, I took four slices, not two, uh-huh. of rye bread.
Uh-huh.
And I buttered the outsides of them, and I got out the skillet to do toasted sandwiches,
uh-huh.
and I put a layer of white cheddar sharp cheese.
Oh, that's so good.
And a couple of slabs of ham on each of
yeah.
them, and I had two sandwiches.
You had two at once? Okay. Well, at least it was on rye bread, and rye bread is good for your gut health.
Yeah.
So if you're going to eat bread, sourdough and rye are the best.
You know what? That's if I took you out to my refrigerator and
uh-huh.
showed you,
uh-huh.
that's exactly the only two kinds that are in
good,
there.
Good for you.
But primarily I use rye bread. I don't use French bread that often.
So,
or, you know, sourdough.
So here's the deal, John. Next time you're in the urge to make two sandwiches, don't.
Yeah. Right. Well, this was kind of a departure, a treat.
Yeah.
Because I was really hungry that day.
Yeah.
And I decided to do it. I would normally only eat,
yeah.
you know, one sandwich
would,
and maybe
yeah.
a bowl of soup. So,
sure. Yeah. And that's and really you've got ham and cheddar cheese in there. You know, I'm not gonna fall over when in despair because you did that one time. Eat what you like.
Yeah.
You know, eat what you like.
And a couple of slices of pickles in each.
Pickles,
one,
yeah.
Know, so.
There you go. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. We're not gonna bust you on that. So
I love. That's the other thing. I love dill pickles.
Yeah.
You just got to be careful because of the amount of salt.
You do.
So I only usually take two at a time.
Yeah, very good. You don't want to overamp on sodium. We're going to talk about more about this. We're also going to get back to some variations on squats in our next segment. You're listening to A Good Fit here on the iHub Network at iHubRadio.com with me, Ted Geis, and Mr. John McMullen.
If you've just finished up with leg day, take a load off. Ted's not going to know you're sitting there listening.
Rough weekend?
Well, unless, of course, you join in the conversation.
Uh-huh.
In which case, give your digits a workout and call the fitness master himself.
Okay, well, I will give a call.
760-544-8255. That's 760-544-TALK.
I want to hear what you think.
Or if you're afraid he's going to hear you making popcorn in the background, just send a text.
No argument there.
760-699-0202. That's 760-699-0202.
Hello, flabby, out-of-shape family. Check out my bulging rippliness.
Fresh off doing burpees, here's Ted Geis with more of A Good Fit on iHub Radio.
Hey, welcome back to A Good Fit. I am Ted Geisen. I'm sitting in the iHub Network studios today with Mr. John McMullen. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi. We were just talking about cactus. Eating cactus.
Yep.
You got to be...
You got to take the needles out.
Oh, shit. I thought, no wonder something was wrong last time. I just thought that was more roughage, John. Yeah.
It definitely is rough.
Definitely is. Now, do you know anybody who's eaten raw, not uncooked Nopalis?
No.
I don't either. I wonder if you can do that. That's my next research subject.
I'm sure you can do it and not get sick, but I don't know that it would be very... I think it would be very chewy from the outside and very gooey from the inside.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it would be a very pleasant experience.
Chewy and gooey. Now, if we're talking about candy bar, that would
I
be
know,
wonderful.
Right?
But not a cactus.
This is, you know, light chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so listen, we're going to finish up here. We have talked about Nopalis, and now I'm going to go over the variation on the dreaded but much revered squat. Squats are your best lower body exercise you can do. Why? Because they engage every muscle in your lower body, and they also engage your core and your abs, okay, if you're doing them correctly. So try, especially if you are new to exercise, just try squats, standing up, no weights in your hands, no weights on your shoulders. Again, I don't do weighted squats anymore because it's too much pressure on my spine, and I've gone from being 5'7" about 20 years ago to being 5'5" and a half on a good hair day today. So it's spinal compression. I have a little arthritis, a little stenosis, nothing too bad though because I didn't overamp on squats, okay? Now, I've had the luxury of having, you know, my mom's legs, which mean, you know, that they're a little bigger, okay? So I didn't have to work as hard at it. I get that genetically. However, I still have to work at it because you got to maintain that strength. Just because you have big legs doesn't mean you have strong legs. Okay, so, you know, you got to be a Travis Eli, my buddy at World Gym, who has both strength and size, but he is a competitive bodybuilder. So he does things a little differently too. So I don't do weighted squats, and I don't think that you should start out doing them either. Okay. Maybe once you get back into a gym setting and you have some assistance and you want to try it out, fine, but start very light. What I do is just merely body weight squats. Get a nice, at least shoulder width or a little farther. I like a little farther myself, legs apart. Okay. And you lead with your butt. Don't lead bending over like you're looking at the ground. I want you to keep your head up, your chest out, your shoulders back, and do it like you're sitting up against a wall, okay? So don't lean forward into your squat. Keep your torso up straight, okay? Go down to just above level chair, like if you were sitting in a desk chair, okay, and you're level, go just above that to check it out, okay? See how you feel, and then push up. If that feels good after doing a set of 10 or so like that, then you can start to go a little lower. If you have knee problems, I can't stress this enough. If you have knee problems, don't work into the pain. Don't do it because you don't want to re-injure yourself. And there's no reason to be in pain while you're exercising, because if you're in constant pain, unless you like that sort of thing, and if you do, God bless you, but there's no reason for you to be in constant pain when you're exercising because you probably won't come back and do it, okay? So what I recommend to everybody in my GeForce workout class, and sometimes there are 70 of us in there, and you know, half will report some sort of knee issue at some point. So you want to work just above the pain. So if 3/4 of a full squat is what you can do to stay out of pain, do that. You'll still engage the quads. I want you to come down low, okay, just on a regular, and then push off with your heels. Push off with your heels and stand back up straight. Stand up all the way, okay? Test the waters. If you are new to squats, that's all you got to do. Do 4 sets of 5 squats. Take about a minute off in between each set. 30 seconds to a minute is what I do. And then get back at it. Okay? Get back at it. So test the waters. You're going to be sore the first time you do squats. You're going to engage your quads in a way. And your quads are your major muscle in your upper leg, and they call them quadriceps because there are 4 distinct muscle heads. So if you see somebody who's really cut and not much body fat and has some muscle, have them as your friend. Say, hey, flex your leg for me so I can see all 4 different muscle heads. You'll be surprised. Or look it up on Google, quadriceps, quads, You want to see all four of those muscle heads, okay? So, and that's a big group. Behind those, your rear part of your legs are your hamstrings, okay? And that goes from about the back of your knee, okay, all the way up to your butt, okay? Those are your hamstrings muscles. Now, of course, you've got the glutes above that, right? Those are your butt muscles, okay? And then you have below that, below the knee, calf muscles, okay? So there's your primer on a basic squat. I'm going to go over that a little bit more. And on the next section, we're going to talk about variations on a theme that you can do. I don't want you to get carried away with variations yet. I just want you to stick to basic squats, but I want to give you a few versions of it so you stay interested, okay? Learn to love your squats. I'm Ted Geis. This is a good fit here on the iHub Network, iHubRadio.com. In the studios today with John McMullen. Thanks for being here. We'll be right back.
Fitness. It's not a four-letter word.
Okay, slight major exaggeration.
If that's what you're looking for, well, you could try carb.
Will you guys quiet down? I'm trying to concentrate on my cardio.
Or maybe lazy.
Man, we're cooking today.
But hey, we're not here to shame anyone.
Your 50 partners are somebody you can vent all your emotional problems to.
Whether you're 18 or 80, a good fit with Ted Geis is your weekly dose of inspiration and advice to get your fit on.
This morning I was brushing my teeth and I saw a muscle in my arm for the first time.
Congratulations.
Here's iHub Radio Fitness Master, Ted Geis.
Hey, welcome back to A Good Fit here on the iHub Network, iHubRadio.com. Thank you so much for listening. I am Ted Geis and we're on our second hour, halfway through our second hour here of this two-hour Health and Fitness Talk Radio program. I think we're the only one in the Coachella Valley, as a matter of fact, aren't we, John?
I think you're right.
I think we're right. Okay, so I'm glad you're here. Thank you guys for listening. We've been talking about exercise, of course, and health and fitness. We've also been talking about cactus today. So we try to keep it interesting and varied. And we were talking about squats, and I want to give you a couple variations, okay? Now, you guys that want to do weighted squats, okay? I train lots of guys, and I've trained some competition bodybuilders, and I've trained some plenty of beginners and things like that. So if you have questions about weighted squats, I am more than happy to answer them and to show you proper form. Just because I don't do them, that's because in my particular case, it's not necessary anymore, and I want to take care of my spine. Sometimes some of the back problems that happen is because guys go too fast, too soon, and the rest of their body is not equipped for it. So they injure themselves. You know, you see knee injuries, lower back injuries all the time with guys who have been, you know, banging out just the heaviest weight they can for 10 years. And then, you know, your parts are parts. They wear out just like on a car. They're going to wear out eventually. Okay. And if you're lucky, you can do some preemptive, you know, proactive things like changing your oil, things like that on your car, your belts, and, you know, making sure it's serviced. You have to do the same thing with your body. Okay. But be prepared. Parts are going to wear out. And if you stress those parts too much in an unhealthy way early on in your weightlifting career or any sport kind of career where you're doing extreme things, I mean, look at football players with traumatic brain injury and things like that from hitting too hard. And, you know, so use caution, take care of yourself. Part of taking care of yourself, besides lifting weights and eating right, is to know when too much is enough, is too much. Okay. So, we get all gung ho, and that's a wonderful thing to be motivated for exercise and health and fitness. But sometimes you can overdo it. So I want you to stay healthy, and I want you to be able to stay in the game by not getting injury. So many guys I know that overdo it, especially with shoulder injuries and knee injuries. They overdo it, and then they're out of the game for 4 to 6 months because they've had to have a shoulder surgery because they tore something, and it's going to take that long to heal, and they're not happy about it. So I want you to be happy and stay exercising. So what do you think?
I bought my significant other dumbbells for Christmas, and
right on. Somebody I dated? No, a different dumbbell. Okay,
and we're I was looking forward to using them myself as well. Mm-hmm. And Now with this wrist situation,
yeah, you gotta let that heal.
I can do it with the other one, but but I want to do it together, and
right.
So I'm, you know, I have to remember you got to be careful because you're gonna impede your ability to do other things if you have these injuries.
Yeah. So now for guys like you, okay, what pound weights did you get?
5, 10, 15, 25, and 50,
okay.
I think.
So
maybe 35.
So for someone who's has a wrist injury or something like that, I suggest taking a light band and starting with that. So you can at least get started, but you're not going to put too much stress on this.
Right.
Or the other thing that you can do, John, is certainly make a fist, bring your arms down in front of you, make a fist, and then a fist and tight all the way up, an isometric exercise, and then keep it tight, flex the whole time down. Take a breath, do it again. Tight. Okay, that pumps that blood in there, and it's an isometric exercise. It's a great way to start without stressing that wrist.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So try some of those for me.
Okay.
So variations on the theme on squats. I like to do closed knee squats as well because it hits the glutes, your butt, and your quads a little differently. So all that means is stand up straight, chest out, shoulders back, head up, put your feet and knees together. That's what that means. Okay. And come on down into a squat, keeping your knees together. Now, a couple people who maybe have some issues with leg structure or bow-legged or stuff, that can be a little difficult. So I'm not, you know, we'll cut you some slack. But most of us can keep our knees together and go on down.
You're talking about cowboys?
Cowboys, yeah. Cowboys, yeah. That's it. And come on back up. So try that squat too. It hits you a little differently. Okay, and the other squat that I want you to try is one that I like to do in class, in my G-Force workout class, and it's called a sumo squat. And what it means is that you squat wide, and then you do the squat, lean over to the right, and bring your left knee up. Squat back down, almost like you're going to swoop in the middle, squat back down, lean to the left, and bring your right knee up. So you look like a sumo wrestler starting to get positioned to wrestle, right? Okay, and then you just lift that foot off the ground.
I was going to say, I just look like a sumo wrestler.
You're doing good. You know, and I will be doing instructional videos on bodyweight squats real soon, and I'm going to post them on Facebook. I'm post them on my website. What is that, John?
TedGeist.com.
I've infiltrated the iHub networks with my new website. Anyway, all righty. So there it is on squats. And I want to encourage you to hit me up with questions about any of this, okay? And we'll be posting more instructional videos soon. So now the other thing I want to talk to you about today, now that we've got through that, is that there are a lot of, we go over this occasionally on iHub Radio, and I go over it occasionally on Facebook and on my website. There's a lot of misinformation out there, especially in politics and the health and fitness industry. So because everybody wants to sell you something, right? They've all got a product. But unfortunately, so much of supplements and things like that are not regulated here in this country by the FDA or anything like that. So a lot of products can make any claim they want until they get busted for it too.
You should have a listing on TedGeist.com that is just a single page where people can go to double check against these things and can also let you know about things that they've experienced, good, bad, or otherwise, and just call it, Ted's Bolshevik.
Yeah, Bolshevik. I like that.
You can go there and make sure before you spend your good, hard-earned money it's a legit thing.
Exactly, John. That's such a great idea, and I'm going to start with a blog post on that, but that may turn into something. I want you to remind me of that again, and because literally I know people who have spent hundreds and thousands of dollars on BS, and they may have gotten things in their bodies or done things that weren't good for them by doing so.
Maybe you could call it BS as seen on TV.
BS as seen on TV, yeah, seen on TV, BS. Well, and that's where so much of it is, and in color print magazines. Why did I say color print magazines? Aren't all magazines color print? I sound like...
I guess.
Yeah, hey, Sonny, color print. It's new. We got color TVs now, too. Yeah. God, I don't know where the hell that came from. Anyway. So there's a lot of workout myths, too, okay? There's a lot of conflicting information about what the best workouts for weight loss, the amount of time that you need to put in for a workout, and what food you should eat, okay? Everybody wants to sell you something, again, like I say. And unfortunately, I'm embarrassed to say that the health and fitness industry is one of the biggest purveyors of BS out there, all right? Because they're unregulated, okay? Not the medical industry as much as the health and fitness, but there's even medical types out there hyping stuff that there's no science behind. So you really got to be careful, okay? So I want to go over a few of these myths with you today in our time remaining. And the first one is that you should stick, I'll ask you if this is, you should stick closely, solely, only to cardio for weight loss. Is that true or false?
I'm going to say false.
That's the right answer, because while it's true that you should include 20 to 30 minutes of cardio in your workout routine, include, that's the key word, if you focus just on your cardio, you'll not transform your body as quickly. Yeah, I mean, you will
maybe
lose some weight eventually.
You could have a segment on your show here.
Uh-huh.
I called Dr. Fauci Says.
Dr. Fauci Says. I love Anthony. Anthony. Boy, he's saying a lot more these days, too, isn't he? I like that freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even Deborah Birx is saying more.
Well, you know, I mean, finally, scientists can use science to tell us how to deal with and cope with these kinds of physical emergency and threats.
I digress that it was shocking that we were in a position where scientists couldn't be free to say what, I mean, that's just so un-American.
It's so Russian.
Yeah, so Russian. Okay, I'm going to segue here real quick. Did you read the article about how he himself had been being groomed for years by the Russians to be, you know, to be their patsy?
No.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'll send you that article. It's a fascinating article. I think it was in the Wall Street Journal or the Atlantic. I'll find out which one. Okay, back to myths. Sticking solely to cardio for weight loss. Okay, cardio is good. You got to include it. But you should also incorporate strength training, okay? Whether it's body weight exercises, weighted exercises, a combination of both, you should do both. That's science says over and over, and there's plenty of science to back this up, that cardiovascular exercise combined with strength training exercise combined with proper nutrition is the best way to lose weight, okay? Those three, starting with, here you go, in this order, starting with proper nutrition. That's your key to weight loss. Uno number one. As a trainer, most trainers are like, ah, come on, man. That's not true. It is true. Okay. The science backs it up. Okay. So strength training builds muscles and it maximizes your cardio routine. Okay. The more muscle you have, guess what, folks? The more calories your body will burn. So you want to build some muscle because it's higher maintenance and you'll burn more calories naturally. That's why guys who gain a lot of muscle, they don't have a lot of fat. Unless they're just, you know. Okay, so that's myth number one. Okay, myth number two, heavy weights will bulk you up, right?
I'm guessing that also is false.
That's also false because, you know, a lot of, sometimes, I won't say a lot of women, but some women are concerned that strength training, like with weights, will build muscle bulk to the point that they will look like a bodybuilder. Bodybuilders don't look like bulk. They look like cut, low-fat muscle, okay? Bulk power lifters may look like bulk, right? Because their muscles are not as defined, they're bigger, and they carry a layer of body fat around them that bodybuilders do not, typically. Now, you can have a bulking season where that changes, but, you know, building muscle, it won't bulk you up. It's just not true. It starts slow and you want to add weights to build muscle, and that will maximize the calories your body will burn. So it's a win-win situation, okay? We're going to talk about a few more of these myths in our next segment, so don't go anywhere. One like, if you work out, you can eat whatever you want, right? That's a good one. Hey, you're listening to A Good Fit here in the iHub Network studios today. I'm Ted Geist, joined by Mr. John McMullen. We've got more information for you coming up.
If you had Apple Jacks or Flapjacks this morning, it might be time to think seriously about jumping jacks.
Burn!
This is where the Coachella Valley comes to talk about fitness and nutrition.
I hope you like turkey, because that's what we're having.
So, whether you're a gym bunny...
That gym is so gay, they only have a back door.
...or you don't know jack shit about getting or staying fit...
Here's the deal.
The fitness master loves everyone all the same.
I think that's the way to do it.
iHub Radio presents A Good Fit with Ted Geiss.
When you walk into a room erect... You say, here I am, deal with it.
Could you stop flexing and posing and pull the microphone your way and do the show? Attaboy.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Ted Geiss. This is the final here on this two-hour presentation of A Good Fit at iHub Network. I'm in the studios with my buddy, John McMullen. Hi, John.
Hello, sir.
Hi, sir. We're talking about important stuff today, like cactus and... And
squats
and squats and
push-ups and sit-ups.
Push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups. And now we're on to myths, okay, of fitness and where we were just going. You know, John, before we get started on this, did you know I got a dog?
I do.
How did you find out?
I've
been so quiet about it.
Well, I pretty much saw this right before I decided to get off of Facebook. So I haven't seen much on Facebook.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I had to go on today to do some stuff to promote your show.
Uh-huh.
And I saw Loki and you.
Yeah.
And he's so adorable.
He is. We call him the house hippo. And I mentioned him, John, not solely because I am his little tool, but because dogs and animals and pets and things like that during this pandemic have been good for your health as well.
Right. They get you out walking.
They do. And they're loving and unconditional. And I'll have a whole show before you know it about my dog. Anyway, Loki is his name. God of mischief. Norse god of mischief.
I had to laugh because somebody else, I saw a story in the news this last week.
Yeah.
And it involved talking about these people's dog.
Yeah.
And their dog was named Loki also.
Oh, right. I read that same story, I think. Yeah. What are the chances, you know?
Right.
I went to the dog park for the first time with him, and there's a big white Siberian Husky cross named Loki.
Oh.
A girl. Yeah. So Loki was a Norse god, mythic Norse god of mischief, and that he is. Okay, so let me not talk about...
I thought that was me, because
that was
that's
you.
Where my blood is from.
We call you Loki on the side. We call you Loco Loki John.
Loco Loki.
Lovingly. Okay, so that myth number three. If you work out, you can be lax in your diet. Not true. We know this, right? That's common sense. But you would be surprised how many people use, oh my God, I did an hour on the treadmill and then I had a killer back and buys workout so I can just eat whatever the hell I want. No.
You know what? When I get on the bike,
uh-huh.
the recumbent bike, and I'm watching the calories burn, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm working this hard and I only got that much benefit out of it.
Bingo.
I would hate to think, oh my God, I could eat two apples and do away with all the calories I just burned.
That is so important. What you just said right there, you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. And it does take a lot. I mean, people ask me.
Well, I think about when people go to places like, say, Sonic.
Yeah.
And one hamburger, one even small size of tater tots and a drink. And I don't even know how you could burn enough calories in a day to catch up with what you just put in your mouth.
Right there is over half your day's calories requirements, right there, over half.
Well, in some cases, depending on what your calorie count is, it's like 2 days' calories. I mean, it's like 3,000 calories.
Yeah,
and I'm like, whoa, what?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true.
And I
it
try and
true.
Stay under 1,500 to 1,800 a day.
Yeah, and that's right there is a challenge right there. And that's not starvation diet, but it's, you know, it's not a lot of calories. So good for you. And you can't do that. If you want to lose weight, your calorie output, here it is, folks. There's no magic answer that you don't have. Your calorie output needs to be higher than your calorie input. So you have to burn off more, whether it's through exercise or eating less or a combination of both, right?
Right.
So the easiest way to do that, though, is to reduce your calorie input, okay? That does not mean that you have to starve. If your body requires 2,000 calories a day just to maintain itself at whatever weight you are, right? if you want to lose a pound, which is 3,500 calories, okay, you're going to have to, say, take, you know, 200 to 300 calories off your daily intake for a couple of weeks, and you're going to lose a pound. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, reducing your calories, you know, here's the other thing, folks. You can switch out foods. Even though you're reducing calories, you can switch to lower calorie alternatives that don't make you feel like you're on a starvation diet. Because the worst thing about dieting is feeling like you're starving.
You can also eat foods, Ted, that help you burn more calories.
Exactly.
Like, for example, I mean, I don't dislike it, but it's not my favorite to eat broccoli.
Oh, broccoli. I love broccoli.
I like it. Uh-huh. I don't dislike it at all, but after a while, it gets a little the same.
Yeah.
But the thing is sometimes I'll purposely eat it because it you're... digestive system burns a lot more calories trying to process that
exactly
for you.
Exactly because there's a lot of fiber and good stuff.
Same goes with the value of broccoli for dealing with blood sugar too.
Exactly, and there's some benefit to grapefruit for some people, and citrus fruits and things like that. So I mean that's a great thing. So switch out your foods to healthier foods that have less calories but will also fill you up so you don't feel like you're starving, okay? That's an easy thing to do. You can find a lot of information about that. Okay, stretching helps prevent injuries. This is another thing. That's a myth. You would think not, though, right? Why do we stretch, right? So it's beneficial. There's no doubt about it. Stretching is beneficial, and you should do it because it prepares your muscles for movement, and it eases your workout recovery. There's no proven research that says it's going to prevent injury, okay? Common sense says, oh, if I'm more relaxed and everything like that, yeah, you may prevent injury. But stretching itself, you should really be mindful of the stretching that you're doing, and your chances of getting an injury are more about your form and the weight that you're doing. If you don't have proper form, you're most likely going to get more injured. That's just common sense. You know, you should probably use what they call functional dynamic stretches, like lunges and swings, left swings and right swings, like a golf swing, to help muscle movement during your workouts. Okay. During your workouts. Okay. So there's one more I want to go over to you with you. And this is a myth. If the number on the scale isn't going down, you're not losing weight. Is that necessarily always true?
I don't think so.
Right. Because you're exchanging muscle weight
for
fat weight. And muscle weighs more than fat. It's as easy as that. So, all right, we are going to continue. Next week's show is going to continue on. I've got 5 more myths I want to go over with you. And we're going to talk about gyms reopening, what to expect. And I got something else I want to talk to you, but I'm not going to say anything about it now. So, hey, thanks for joining us here on A Good Fit. I've been in the studio with my buddy, my pal, John McMullen, the Big Kahuna. This has been A Good Fit. Thank you, John.
And visit Ted at tedgeist.com.
Funny you should bring that up. Bye-bye.